Praise God. So we'll just continue this evening. We'll continue talking about the doctrine of praise, like we started a few, what I'll call a few weeks ago, into probably a month ago. Yeah, we're just trying to examine the doctrine of praise from scriptures and pay attention to God's word and what exactly is taught in scripture as praise and worship. All right, so if you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me quickly to go all the way to First Timothy. Yeah, we've paid attention to First Timothy as much as possible in this series, trying to examine a few things. But look at First Timothy. Go all the way to First Timothy chapter 3. All right, so look at First Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. First Timothy 3:14. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. Okay. I was wondering, where did that word disappear to? Yeah, this is covered. Beautiful. Yeah, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's very important to know that Paul expects that when there's a gathering in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name or as a church, right? There needs to be a there needs to be order, so to say. And if you've paid attention to this teaching over the past few weeks, there's been that emphasis on order, how do we behave in church? Right, how do we act in church? What are the things we do in church? What are the things we don't do in church? What do we why do we stay away from certain things in church? Why do we avoid things that are destructive, that could be termed as distractions to us? And Paul is giving that conversation as well, and he's saying, you know what, there's actually a way to behave. And if there's a way to behave, it means there's a way not to behave. And I gave an example on Sunday, trying to pay attention to our services, our mode of service. And for instance, I said something around, imagine if I was teaching and everyone brought out one someone brought out a piece of chicken and was eating it, another person was opening a bottle of Coke or Pepsi, another person just around the corner was trying to eat sandwich and all of that. You see, eating sandwich is not wrong. Drinking a bottle of Pepsi is not wrong. Drinking Pepsi is not wrong. Well, drinking Coke is not wrong in itself, yeah. But in that service, in that meeting, when we are gathered together, we ought to have a sense of decorum. We ought to have a sense of regard, and we ought to have a sense of reverence. We need to honor ourselves, honor the meeting, honor where we are. A lot of times, what I realized in recent times is that a lot of us, when we hear the truth of God's word, we run with it partially. What do I mean? We just pick one part of it and run with it and forget every other part. So you'd rather find a lot of Christians, for instance, want to hear about God's love. They always want to hear that they are forgiven, but they don't want to be corrected that what they are doing, is out of place, right? You see a lot of Christians that want to, they want to have, in summary, it's called, I usually term it having the best of both worlds, trying to get the best of both worlds. And, people just, think that, oh, well, since our sins are forgiven, it means we can act anyhow in church. It means we just come anyhow, anytime we want, anyhow we wish, and all of those things. Yeah, so there are things that we need to actually put in place. And fundamentally, we're starting, for instance, with our singing, right? And lots of questions would have been in the hearts of lots of people who would have, joined us, and questions around, oh, well, why don't we do this way? Why don't we act this way? Why don't we sing this way? Why don't we do these things? Why don't we not do these things? And all of those things put together, and that's what we're trying to answer doctrinally. So I've taken you through that journey of what fundamentally the biblical words used, biblical explanation for the words worship and praise. Now, in our world today, well, it's okay. In our world today, we see people explain worship as the slow songs, right? That praise would be the what high beat songs. You get that right? So anything that is fast is praise. Anything that is slow is worship. So we've adopted that word or those words to have those meanings. Yeah, but a Bible student, you know, at a time in your spiritual growth, you should be able to gladly open the pages of the scriptures and let the truth of God's word confront you and confront that which you know. Yeah, you know, it's very, 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 very important. Very, very, very important. So you need to be able to, you know, allow God's word to have the final say really over your heart, right? So we've looked at worship, we looked at praise. Well, there's nothing entirely wrong in terming worship as, so for instance, we come to church every Sunday and we say, or after prayer, what we have is worship. You know, you don't want to get all very, you know, interesting and stop saying, no, we don't call it worship session, we call it prayer. Well, it really can mean so many things to so many people as long as what is communicated, right? You know, I started explaining to you on Sunday or last week, Wednesday, I started using the explanation of, the use of the word blessed. Right, and these are the word riches, right, that I've taken you through scriptures to show you what the word, how the word riches has been used, doesn't mean that a man that is physically wealthy cannot be called rich because he's a believer, and riches has a different meaning. Are you getting the point? Right, so somebody should ask somebody and say, oh, how are you? I'm blessed, right? And you now say you don't want to use the word blessed again because people have abused the use of the word blessed to mean material prosperity or empowered to succeed or whatever the case may be. Yeah, so you need to be very careful in, you know, trying to make sure that you understand, you know, and have a very holistic view on the word of God. You have to have, you know, that mindset, that approach to, you know, understanding the word for what it is as a whole. So one of the things I told you we're going to look at today would be singing. We want to pay attention to singing. What exactly is singing, and what exactly does singing mean to us? Now, let me just put this out there to you all, right? You see, anything we sing as a church should be what we can teach. Did you get that? Right? Anything we sing as a church should be what we can teach. If we say our emphasis is on the gospel, the love of God, you know, the service that comes by love and ministry that comes by love, it means we should be able to sing what we teach, right? So it means that fundamentally all our praise songs are songs that can be taken and can be used to teach. That's why you notice that every time, almost every time I get on stage and I'm about to teach, I get on the pulpit and I'm about to teach, what do? I pick from the last song that is sung, right, and start my teaching from there a lot of times. I just, you know, use that song to admonish, right? So it means that the songs we sing in the real sense should be able to exhort us, admonish us, correct us, edify us, bring comfort to us, reassure us. Do you understand? We can't say a song is a gospel song and it has nothing to do with the facts and the responsibilities of the gospel. Do you understand, right? You see, that a song has the name God doesn't mean it's a gospel song. In fact, let me put it to you, that a song has the name Jesus doesn't mean it's a gospel song. Right? A gospel song really would be the gospel song, right? That means singing the gospel, or singing the gospel, the work of the facts of the gospel, and by extension, the responsibility that comes with the gospel we've received altogether. So, you know, that a practice is popular does not make it biblically right. Did you get that? Right? In the Christian faith, majority doesn't always carry the votes. You know, in our world now, it's always about what are most people doing? Yeah, what do most youth like? Yeah, let's use that to season our services. And I know I've told you over the years that when it comes to the disciples of Jesus Christ, history shows that majority of them, you know, were in their teenage ages or in their teenage years, and you know, debatable, but you know, scholars, you know, say Peter was usually ideally the only one that was not a teenager at the time, right? So it means Jesus took teenagers and he taught them for 40 days back to back. That's very important to note. That's worthy of note, right? So in our world today, even adults don't want to listen to the word again. Teenagers don't want to listen to the word again. Then we adults try to fine-tune what can be attractive to the teenagers, right? And we try to give them every activity outside the main activity they should be in church for. Think about it this way. You have a child that goes to school Monday to Friday. Saturday, they want to rest or probably do their assignments or their homeworks. And Sunday, they come to church again to play. Right, so it means you literally have a child that is playing from Sunday all the way to Sunday, because Saturday, a lot of times while they rest, they will still play. You understand? Yeah, so and that's on the very minimum, right? So you rarely have a lot of parents who are very deliberate in training their children in the way of the Lord, right? Nowadays, in our world right now, it's very easy for people to just get themselves all excited and just think life is just easy, you know, everything is just, you know, and before, if somebody tries to go against the tide or goes against what is popular, you know, you can have the ridiculous, approach. You know, there's a culture that's called cancel culture, when people cancel people, you know, and that even has even come into the church. For instance, somebody offends you in the church, someone corrects you in church, someone does something to you in church, someone steps you in church, someone, you know, and before you know it, you've canceled the person from your heart. You know, so that is why, you see, scripture will tell you, do not be conformed to this world, yeah, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, that activity of renewing your mind is a consistent activity that needs to be done every day, not just every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Do you get that? Right? So else what will happen is, because we are mixed with the activities of the world majorly, that is what we spend our time majorly to do, it will influence the very few minutes we come together as saints. Right? So think about it this way. We meet in church, for instance, God's Palace, 2 hours, 30 minutes on Sunday, for instance, right? And I rarely teach for 2 hours. So mostly I'll teach for an hour, 20, an hour, 30 minutes per adventure. Right, on Wednesday like this, I teach again from 7 to 8:30, an hour 30 minutes, that's 3 hours. Right, so you are listening to God's word only for 3 hours in 168 hours, so you have 165 hours unaccounted for. Well, you say that it's accounted for rather, right? And you say, oh, I go to work 9 to 5, I go to, you know, this 9 to 5, I do this 9 to 5, I sleep rather 8 to 6, you know, and you'll be able to list all those things. But how much are you actually giving your heart to God's word? Are we together? How much of God's word are you feeding your heart with? Right? Are you one who is listening to all the news and everything, all the things that are not going well, everything that anybody just says that just comes your way, you just run to it, pick on it, say anything you want to say, move on with anything you want to move on with, and just continue your life? And well, pastor has taught us that all of us are saved, once saved, forever saved. I can live anyhow, I can do anyhow, I can speak to anybody anyhow, nobody has a grip on me. Yeah? You see, it is just because you've not given your heart God's word, or you've not exposed your heart or opened your heart to actually receive the transformation that God's word brings. Because there is not a single person that God's word cannot transform. There is not a single person that God's love cannot transform. Yeah, the timing might differ from people to people, coast to coast, but God's word is the ultimate, you know, material that can transform any human on earth. Altogether, so it means that saints, because that is primary to us, we pay attention to it, right? So we don't pick our slants based on what the crowd is saying. We pick our slants based on what the world is saying, right? You see, I can tell you for free, not everything you experience in our world today would have exactly the same example in the Bible, right? But I can tell you for free that there are examples in the Bible that can show a template as to how in the real sense we can and approach certain situations. Yeah, so I'll say that again. The popularity of a practice doesn't make it biblically right. That, look at it, that 99.9% of churches are doing something doesn't mean that what they are doing is right or is scriptural. Let me use the word scriptural. I put together, because right in the real sense, people can say is relative. But when it comes to the truth of God's word, you know, it's not something that you say is relative. It depends on, no, it's God's word is what it is, right? So we align our hearts to God's word. So majority doesn't always carry the vote when it comes to the things of God in the real sense. I put together, you know, it usually looks like something we think we understand or we know a lot of times. You know, there are certain things that might just look like, you know, you understand, you have a hold on it, you know, until we allow God's word to like confront it. Yeah, so we have people have questions. Yeah, what exactly is a worldly music? What exactly is a gospel music? And what is the difference? Right, now a lot of people now use worldly music and call them church music, or pick worldly music, remove the lyrics from worldly music, and what overlay gospel. In fact, well, lyrics, God, things that are supposedly biblical. Altogether, right? So it's important to know, well, anything that is invented by man, right, on account of man or account of the things of the earth is what you can call that which is of the world. Altogether, all right? So let me put that for you in context, right? Do we use drums in church? Yes. Our drums biblical, our drums doctrinal, our drums scriptural. Well, no, yeah, because drums are made by men, right? By men who are not necessarily Christians. Altogether, right? So it's that of the world, yes. Is the piano God sent? Yeah, piano is something that is man-made, right? Over the years, you see, in the time of Moses, he didn't have a church where there was a pianist or a piano. Do you understand? So sound has evolved over the years, right? So if sound has evolved over the years, it means that we really will need to be careful in the kinds of sound that we would infuse into the church. Now, what does that mean? You see, look at it this way, right? You know, there are some grooves, yeah? There are some interludes that when you hear them, you know they are associated to this person. Right, and so for instance, from the part of the world where I come from, there's a man called Fela. Right now, Fela is one of the widely known Afro musician, whatever name you want to call him. Right, you see, there is a kind of music he did when he was alive, and by extension, his kids are doing right now. You see, that kind of music is not far, you see, is not more worldly, right? That kind of music is not on a normal plane level, right? It's not more worldly than the beat we use on Sunday service. Yeah, you know that song, "What a Beautiful Name It Is, the Name of Jesus." You see, that beat we use and that beat that Fela uses, right? They are all both worldly. Are together, right? So the question now becomes, okay, why can we now take that one that we use and not take that one that we use? And you know why? Yeah, because whilst worldly is worldly, right, there are different categories or different people who have been associated with certain things, right? And when those things have been associated with those acts, bringing it into the church will actually be being carnal, or will be to be carnal, or will be to be worldly. Do you understand? Yeah. So that's interestingly, we have lots of songs today are usually on the same groove or the same beat or on the same progression. Right now, if we pick any of those things and bring it into the church, someone can ask, why can't we bring this worldly but not this worldly? But when you bring this worldly to the church, we know what comes to the mind of one. When we bring that worldly to the church, we know what comes to the mind of one. There are some interludes that once you just hear, like you just know where it's coming from. One is playing in my mind right now, but I'm not going to voice it out by the power of the Holy Ghost. Right? So, there are some things you just hear, and you know that when you hear that, it doesn't connect more to your spiritual side, but more your carnal side. Yeah, and a lot of times you see the interview, what hey, everybody just shout, hey, ooh, ah, and everybody just, and they call it rejoicing. Do you understand? Right? So, generally, music will deal with different genres, different kinds, will be from different parts of the world. There is none of those genres, none of those kinds, none of those, tempo templates is a Bible template. Yeah, like I told you over the months, or over the weeks rather, that the what we have in the book of Psalms are the lyrics, not the tune, not the beat, not the instrument or the progression tune. Do you understand? Right? So it means that once we find out what is more important, is it the tune or is it the beat or is it the lyrics? Yeah, it means we will need to pick what is most important and guard it diligently with all our hearts. You get that? Yeah, it means we will need to pick that which is very important and try to isolate it from things that can be distracting. Are we together? So slow, fast, reggae, classical, jazz. Well, none of them is doctrinal. Yeah, 3/4, 6/8, yeah, whatever, for the musicians, for people who know all of those things, yeah. None of them is doctrinal. None of them is scriptural. What is doctrinal in the singing and the playing is the word that have been said. And there's something I usually, mention. And, for instance, I play the keyboard in church in the UK. And do you notice that when I play the keyboard, as much as possible, I make sure I am singing? Yeah. Yeah, make sure I'm singing. See, because what is most important in our services for me as a pianist is not that I'm giving you sound. It is that I am singing the work of Christ. Are we together? right? So you see a pianist, for instance, you see a drummer, yeah, and somebody says, give the Lord a praise, and the drummer starts, you know, and everybody's watching the drummer and videoing and blowing in breeze and say, oh wow, and spraying in money. Ah, you see, it comes extreme, right? So some people think that, oh, when you do the prayer and do all your skill to praise God, you've praised God. See, don't forget, the praise is in what is being said. You see, a drummer who plays the drum, right? Listen to that carefully. A drummer who plays the drum and is not singing during praise and worship, he plays the drum from beginning of praise and worship to the end of praise and worship, he has not praised. Eh? You know, we don't have all those, you know, a lot of things, a lot of people say dancing offering, you know, all those very plenty things people are, or playing offering. Yeah, give the Lord a playing offering, right? And you see somebody do it. Now, can a drummer give an interlude, right, for people to know a point to come together? Yeah, well, yes, there's nothing wrong in that, right? You know, can a pianist give an interlude or an intro for people to know where to come to? Oh, there's nothing wrong in that. Altogether. But when we make it about the show and the display of their skill, what happens? It switches from what we call doctrinal praise to what entertainment. Did you get that? Right? So is music in the Bible? Was music mentioned in the Bible? Oh yes. Was there dancing in the Bible? Oh yes. Were there people playing instruments in the Bible? Oh yes. Look at Luke 15 quickly. Wow. Look at Luke 15 quickly. Luke 15:23. Are you in Luke 15, verse 23? Look at that carefully. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 23. Look at it. It says, "And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. Right? For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found." And they began to merry. Right now, his older son was in the field. Right, so this is the story of the prodigal. You know, so you have the two sons, the older and the younger one. One who leaves the house, one who is in the house but remains angry. Well, both of them really are examples of people who needed to respond to the compassion of God's love. Well, or the father's love, so to say. So now his elder son was in the field, and as the elder son came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Right? So you see, that's the use of the word music in the Bible. It's in the parable. Altogether, that he heard music, it means that there was a combination of sounds that was used to make them merry or to make them happy. Altogether, right? So did Jesus speak about music in his parable? Oh yes, right? So is there a use of music? So if you go through the writings of the scriptures, you see the writings of the prophets, you see the use of psalms, the singing of psalms of David and psalms of other, you know, men that wrote some chapters in the book of Psalms. Are we together? Right? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:26 carefully. This is very important. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Alright, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26. Look at what it says carefully. 1 Corinthians 10:26. See what it says there. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you?" Look at that carefully. Now, who is Paul addressing? Paul is addressing brethren. Now, that word brethren is a word that is, you know, has the root word in the Greek, adelphos. Spelled out for you, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S, adelphos. Now, that word just really speaks about those who are the same womb, yeah? And what womb would that be? To be the womb of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, right? So, brethren there is not the male people in the church, right? Brethren there will be those that share an inheritance or share a commonality, right? So, how else can you read 1 Corinthians 14:26? How is it then, saints? Yeah, so Paul says, "How is it then, saints, when ye come together?" That is saints, everyone. So is the everyone. The everyone will be all the brethren together. The everyone will be every saint present. So he says, "Every one of you hath a psalm." Every one of you hath a psalm. Right? Every one of you hath a skill to play the drums. No. Every one of you hath a skill to blow the trumpet. No. God prefers trumpets to Bible. So anyone that plays the trumpet, you are mocking up. Yeah. Well, when ye come together, every one of you had a psalm. You know, people actually believe that trumpet is more of a prophet is more is a more is a spiritual instrument. Yeah, every instrument is made on the earth. Every. You know, I see some very interesting things, and they make me, see my bishiva. How would I even say it, right? People, you see people going to buy a horn of animals, and blowing it at the sound of at the instruction of the Lord, and blowing horns and all those things, and those are spiritual. No. You see, every instrument is made on the earth. There is no heavenly instrument, no spiritual instrument. You together, right? You see, God doesn't prefer strings to e-piano or grand piano, right? The reason why it seems like there's a lot that happens when strings are played is because strings have a way to connect with the emotions of man. Do you understand? Yeah, do you understand? Yeah, so, God doesn't prefer strings to lead guitar. God doesn't prefer lead guitar to trumpet, or trumpets to lead guitar, or trombone, or horn. Yeah, no. What is Paul teaching here? What does everyone come with? So, he says, for starters, every one of you had a psalm. Now, amongst every one of you, are there people who will be skillful in playing the horns? Yes. Are there those who will be skillful in playing the drums? Yes. Are there those who will be skillful in playing the piano? Yes. Which is more important? That the man that is skillful in playing the drums and the woman skillful in playing the piano had a psalm. That's it. You see that, right? What is more important? Yeah, that amongst the brethren, the one that actually is playing the sax or playing the trumpet or the trombone or blowing the horn, he had a psalm. That's the most important. You get that? That's the most important. So it's very important to know that, you see, when you see how the words are used in Bible, or when things are put in context in Bible, you need to pay attention to what the implications are. You see that, right? So it says, every one of you had a psalm. So every one of you includes the drummer, the trombone player, the saxophonist, the lead guitarist, the bass guitarist. They all have a psalm. See, that they have a psalm, that they are playing the instrument doesn't mean that the instrument is a replacement for their psalms. So it means that as a pianist, you walk into a meeting because you are skillful. You are a skillful pianist. Don't forget, your skill as a pianist, your skill as a drummer really is a skill you learned over the years. You know, some people, I'm going to touch this in maybe years to come or days to come, really. You know, and a lot of people just think like, oh, some people are endued with the piano know-how from heaven, from birth. They know how to play piano. Well, see, there are genes and there are something called genetics, right? And genetics in people will always differ. You see, assimilation rates will never be the same for all men. No, it will differ. There are those who you teach something once and they get it. There are those who you have to teach it 10 times and they get it, right? The one that has to teach it 10 times needs to know him or herself and know that they need to hear it 10 times to get it. You know what a lot of us do? They see one who can get it one or two times after the third time, right? They try three times, they try four times, they try five times, they get up until the eighth time and they think, oh, that thing, I cannot do it. Yeah, so they stop at the eighth time. Yeah, meanwhile, they need to hear it 10 times. Do you get that? Right? You see, to say that somebody is a skillful and gifted pianist from birth is to say that once you are born, no need for growth. And once your fingers start stabilizing, you just give on the piano, you play the sound from the throne of grace, like that man was asking me to play from the other day. Yeah, do you understand that? Right? So, who is that man that plays the piano in the church? Who is that man that plays the drum in the church? When he comes into the church, first, he must know that he has a psalm. Yeah, he must know that, and he's coming into the midst of those that have psalms as well as he does. Right? So, he has a psalm before he has a skill to play the drum to back the psalm. What is more important? Not the drum. Right? He didn't say every one of you had an interlude. He didn't say every one of you had a progression. He didn't say every one of you had a whatever you want to call it. It is everyone had a psalm. Everyone had a doctrine. Okay? Yeah? So that drummer, that pianist has a doctrine. Right? That drummer, that pianist has a tongue. Did you get that? Right? He had a revelation. He had an interpretation. Now it says, let all things be done unto edify. So what edifies? Not the interlude. What edifies? What he said. Yeah. What edifies? Not the interlude. What edifies is what is said. So it means that everyone, no matter who you are, as a believer, when you come together, you have a sound. So we need no instruments as in acts. Yeah. So, but you see, could we do with instruments like the scripture will record some of the prophets, you know, so David as well, and so on. Could we do? Yeah, we can. But you see, a lot of times we think we cannot sing or we should not sing because there's no instrument. Right? Right? So, what is more important? Because you know there's no gospel beat, there's no gospel tempo, there's no gospel progression, no gospel interlude, no gospel, intro. Yeah, there's no gospel intro, no gospel interlude. It means that the most important when we come together is not your skill on the drum, is not your skill on the piano. It is the words that will proceed as psalms from your mouth, from your heart, the doctrine, the revelation. Are we together? Right? So if you look properly in context, David will be one of the greatest, you know, that is well acknowledged and well known, right? So David's Psalms, they will be speaking about the work, the resurrection, the work of the Son, or by extension, that's what that will bring to the heart of man. So he will speak prophetically, speaking about the work of Christ. Are we together? So, and the content of the Psalms that David would have spoken about would have been around what? Christ Jesus. Yeah, look at Hebrews 13, verse 15. Are you there? Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. There's a lot to say here, yeah, but I'd rather skip that for this teaching and pay attention to it in later years. Because look at what it says carefully. Look at verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices. So what is to communicate? It is to do good. So the communication there is doing good in verse 16, right? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Yeah, if you followed me in the last two teachings, yeah, you know what well pleasing sacrifice is about. Yeah, what is well pleasing sacrifice? What is sweet smelling savour? The love work. How did he say it there? Communicate, forget not. That is to do good. So it means that to do good, communicate, will be linked to the sacrifice of praise in verse 15. Anyways, so by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. What is his name really going to be? His name will be about his work. His name will be about his reputation. Are we together? So it means that by default, whatever we say, whatever we do would have its firm background from the teachings of the work of Christ Jesus. All right. So a proper teaching of the work of Christ Jesus will reflect in your conduct, reflect in your attitude, reflect in your slants, reflect in your words, reflect in how you talk, reflect in how you speak, reflect on how you respond. It just reflects, right? Because particularly, what is most important is feeding and feasting on the meal of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All together. So what makes a song, for instance, gospel? Yeah, it needs to be an offshoot from what the root of the facts of the gospel. Yeah. So does it speak about the sacrifice of Christ? Does it speak about the resurrection? Does it speak about the ascension? Right? Does it speak about the responsibility that comes with the ascension? Does it speak about the, you know, being seated at the right hand of the Father? Does it speak about intercession? Does it speak about authority? Yeah, the authority in Christ. Yeah, does it speak about power? Right? Does it speak about the life or the conduct of a believer? Yes. Oh, well, we've sang well when we have that as our songs. Are we together? Yeah, so it means that once you start seeing entertainment as the goal, altogether, yeah, and because a lot of times what we do is a lot of times entertainment, we just want to entertain, and that's why you now start seeing music ministers are always trying to look for the most carnal things because they want to, in quotes, carry people along. Do you understand? Carry people along, carrying people along. Yeah, you know, carry me, carry me, carry me, carry me, carry me, carry me. You know that song, right? Yeah, and in the real sense, you are trying to carry people along, carrying people along, carry people along, carry people along, right? Oh, where are my praises? Yeah, do you have your handkerchief? Wave your handkerchief to the Lord. Yeah. So what happens a lot of times is that now a lot of people now bringing their various cultures into the practice of what our fellowship, our saints. All right, you start hearing a minister say things like, oh, where are my Yoruba? Where are my people from Zimbabwe? Are you in the house today? Yeah, are you singing a Zimbabwe song? And it's only and only you and the people that are singing it know it. So all of us will have to now learn Zimbabwean language in the church, or Ghanaian language, yeah, or French. Do you understand? And I've taught that 3-4 services ago. Do you understand? So entertainment is not the goal of our singing. Right, entertainment is not the goal of our singing. So singing the gospel, we include, we are preaching the work, the resurrection fact, or we are prophesying, we are seeing things expected from us, we're exalting the name of Christ, we're exalting the work of Christ. We're together. So a lot of times what we call praise time, a lot of times is actually entertainment time. People want to be entertained. So what you now find out is people who ideally want to be found in the club, yeah, but because they told them don't go to the club, or they said, oh, club is not for the believer, the saint should not be found in the club. Well, so what happens? You now try to bring the club to them in church. Together, right? You now bring the church to them in the club to them in church, and you see them now just behaving and acting anyhow they think they want to behave or act, right? Yeah, so you must understand really to a very large extent that music, the songs we'll sing will have to build its foundation from doctrine of the scriptures, you know. But the music we use or the music we apply, yeah, it's more often than not will come from the culture of man. Do you understand? So music as a whole is man's culture, right? Singing as a whole is a natural thing. People sing. It's not only Christians that sing. Do you understand? Right? So let me say this way. Is singing only for Christian work or Christian faith or the Christian faith? No. Yeah? Can music be used for entertainment? Oh, yes. But where should music be used for entertainment? It should be used for entertainment anywhere outside the what? The church. Anywhere, as I know, I had somebody the other day who was saying, why do you like, after I finished explaining some things about praise and worship and everything, and I asked, oh, why do you like dancing in church? And he said, you know, dancing in church just makes me sweat. He just makes me sweat. I'm like, so you are actually dancing in church because you want to burn calories. Yeah, so you don't want to pay for gym. Yeah? You don't want to be committed to gym. But you think, and you really, really do think that is that 30, 40 minutes of dancing that will make you, you know, lose whatever you want to lose. And by what I mean lose whatever you want to lose, you want to get into shape or lose fat or whatever you want to call it. Do you understand? I'm like, so that's the mindset. So there are lots of people in their thousands into millions that why do they like dancing? They do like dancing in the real sense because they want to burn calories, right? And the real sense, you know, you can actually play videos on YouTube that can make you burn calories in your living room. You know, I sometimes you can meet me in the car. What you hear me listening to will be a song that, in the real sense, I will never mention. A Christian song, yeah, but I'll never sing it. Or yeah, I listen to songs in my dialect, right? I wasn't born British, right? I wasn't born English, right? I was born from the western part of land, from the west, right? So I grew up learning some of those things, some of those songs. So I can get myself to express myself in when I'm driving, when I'm in the house or something. But any other place for entertainment outside the garden of the saints. Why? Because we must hold in high esteem the gathering of the saints. We must hold in very high esteem the coming together of the saints, the fellowship we share, that which we have. Right? Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27. Sure, this is there. Look at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So it means, whilst things might be lawful, not everything will edify, not everything will bring edification altogether. So it means the saints can stay away from things that are lawful, but not edifying. Ideally. Do you understand that? Right? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient, right? All things are lawful for me, but all things are defined not. Now it says, let no man seek his own, but every man love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's another way of writing love thy neighbor as thyself. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Yeah, you see the word wealth there in italics. Yeah, so it says, let no man seek his own, but every man another. That means prioritize the other. That is, pay attention to the other. Right? So look at verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eats. Asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But look at 27, where I'm going to. If any of them, who are the them in the real sense, we will be speaking about maybe those who are unbelievers, right? It says, if any of them that believe not, it makes it clear, right? If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, that's the word, a festival or a ceremony or a party, yeah, or a birthday or a wedding. Are we together? He says, and you are disposed to go. That's the word. You'll be disposed. That means you have time. You can attend it, right? Whatsoever is set before you, eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. So can a Christian attend a wedding ceremony that is not a Christian? A birthday party? Yes. Can a Christian attend a wedding? Yes. Can a Christian attend a function that is maybe 20th year anniversary or 20th, 50th year anniversary, whatever you want to call it? Yes. Now, in those meetings, what do you think is going to be the middle ground in getting people's attention? Yeah, it will fundamentally be music, singing. Yeah, you won't go for a birthday party. Really, you know, you shouldn't go for a birthday party. And what they are singing is, I mean, name justified. Well, if they sing it for a part, yeah, not the full song, not the full service. Are we together, right? So it means you can go for a ceremony where it is not gospel songs that are played. Yeah, where should gospel songs have priority? In the gathering of the saints in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is to do his work, to teach the gospel, to have service together and to fellowship among ourselves. So this is a ceremony for Mary. Yeah, to marry, to make merry, to celebrate. Oh, if any of them that believe not, that means if an unbeliever should ask you to come for a ceremony, yeah, and you are disposed to go, whatsoever I said before you, yeah, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Yeah, so it means that a believer can. So it means that you want to burn calories, you can actually stay in your house, burn calories, and listen to, you know, a song that can make you active or entertain you. Altogether, right? So you can sing to entertain everywhere, every other place outside the local church. So you don't come to a church or the garden of saints, and as a minister, as a singer, your riffs and your runs, for those of you who don't know riffs and runs, you know, the expressing, what's the word? There's this word I usually use, expressing dexterity or expressing vocal know-hows, right? You know, sometimes some people singing and they say, come and sing, oh, come, oh, ye faithful, and you've not even started. The first is, come, like that's distracting. Yeah, see, can you sing, can you sing it in a gathering that is not a gathering where saints are coming to fellowship with one another and to, you know, learn the word and all those things? Oh yeah, yeah, you can. Can you include that in a wedding? Oh yes, yes, you can. Yeah, you see, can you, people ask questions like, as a Christian musician, if the church doesn't pay you, I don't want to go into that topic in this series, yeah, but, you know, where else will you use your skill? I'm like, well, there are 1,001 other places a musician can play, right? And in playing there, you've not acted like an unbeliever. Do you understand? Yeah, you can play a piano, right, in front of a hotel lobby, right? Yeah, and play love songs. Yeah, you can. You can have a band and be going for weddings and play live music. You can. Yes, there are 1,001 places. Yeah, but I don't want to touch to go into that. Right? So you are asked to come and sing as a singer and as a minister, and the first thing you do when you hold the mic is to do vocal. You see, so you can be very good, right, and be very disciplined. Altogether, you can be very good and be very disciplined. You can be very good and be very disciplined. Yeah, you can be so good. that you don't have to do this and run before people know if people know you are good or not. You know why? Because that coming to minister to the saints, to lead the saints in ministration, is not a place for entertainment. So it's not a place to show off what you've got. It's not a place to show the hours of training you've done at the bedroom. No. There are competitions you can go for and win your money and do anything with, you know, do anything with your life. Yeah, you can be a musician. You know, you can actually be a gospel minister in the church and actually sing sound worldly basic songs outside of the church, right? Do you understand? Yeah, but you must be able to draw the line. Know what, see, you know what you drop at the door, right? You know, and great, like really, 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 truly, you know, eventually nobody even pays attention to the faithfulness of the great God. Yeah, everybody is paying attention to the what? The great voice that is singing. Alright? I say, you see people that are crying, they're doing like this. Whew, that's intense. That's, and they're doing like this. Like in real sense, what just got you there? You are human, you have emotions. Yeah, if someone did that exact thing with a different song and but the same sulfur notations outside of the church, you will feel that way as well. Do you understand that? Right? So, we really cannot say the Christian should only sing Christian songs. Well, how many of you, a lot of us sang the national anthem a few days ago. A lot of us will sing national anthem of the UK. A lot of us will sing national anthem of France. A lot of us know the national anthem of, you know, the US. A lot of us sing Happy Birthday to You. Yeah, we sing those songs. Yeah, those are not gospel songs. They don't speak about the work of Christ. Right, so to say that a believer should not sing any song that is not gospel song in the real sense would be to just trap the believer unnecessarily. Yeah, because the believer already sings Happy Birthday to You, and when it's time for a birthday, you just call it out as Psalms. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Yeah, we sing those songs. Yeah, we sing those songs that are not necessarily gospel songs. Right, but in a real sense, in all of that, now this is where the problem comes in. A lot of people think that because we say you can sing other songs, not gospel songs, you can listen to anything. Well, there are things that are not good for your heart, good for your spiritual health. Yeah, there are things that are not good for, you know, for you as a saint altogether. Yeah, well, look at Galatians. Let me show you something. Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13. Look at that carefully. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Right? How did Paul say that in, what did you read earlier on? First Corinthians, yeah? Right, let no man be after his own self, but you know, prioritize another man's wealth. Yeah, was that First Corinthians? Where did you read that? I think that's First Corinthians 10:27, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, so look at it. Paul says, right, for brethren, yeah, the same brethren that Paul will speak to, and that heart is Sam, yeah, those same brethren, he said, yeah, I've been called into liberty. So, have you been called into liberty? Yes, you have been called. You know, interestingly, in our world, some people like the great part of their pastors, right? They love their pastor when their pastor is teaching the word, dissecting the word, establishing their feet in sound doctrine, yeah. But once their pastor, you know, notices something that needs to be corrected and corrects it, the pastor becomes the number one enemy of those people, right? Well, to a very large extent, it is just because a lot of times they've not allowed the truth of God's word to reform, reshape their hearts. Yeah, you're not allowed to, because you see, happy are you when you actually have someone that can correct you. Happy are you when you actually have someone that can bring correction your way. You know, think about a child. Imagine you had a child, right? Your child should consider himself privileged that when he is going to fire, you can actually call him to order. Yeah. Right, but what happens a lot of times, we have a child going to fire, we have the parent correcting them, and they say, oh, believe me, we are called into liberty. Look at what Paul says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, but this liberty is a restrained liberty. That means it's a limited liberty, right? It's something that is restrained. See, there is a wall around it. There's an edge around it, right? There's a wall around it. So, but, you know, interesting, we just have lots of people who just want to be as free as a bird and free as a bird and free as a bird and free as a bird. Why is Pastor talking about worldly songs like this? I can listen to anybody I want to listen to, just my life. Just, well, see, let the truth of God's word stare you in the face and reform and reshape your heart. Altogether, I'm free, I can do anything. And that is why a lot of times people now prefer places where correction is absent, right? But they're just telling you, just be loving God, just last thing matters. Well, you see, a lot of times we need to actually say what needs to be said the way it needs to be said. Yeah, there's such a thing called liberty. There's such a thing called a restrained liberty. Are we together? Right? You know, sometimes you see some Christians morning, they are talking about the love of God. They are videoing themselves when they are singing, you know, worship songs. Somebody is videoing them when they are crying and lifting up one hand. So in fact, some people lift their left hands and use their right hands to video themselves crying during worship. You understand? First of all, that, so, like, if a pastor sees that and doesn't correct it, that's troublesome. That's troublesome. That's so, so troublesome. Right? And you know the funny thing? People now do it, pastors now correct them, right? And they now, they change, after all, there are churches everywhere, right? Is that not the case? Right? So they just decide to just go to, just decide to leave the church anyhow, and I want to go to a place where I'm free. So because of that, what happened? Pastors now don't want to correct. Yeah? Pastors just always want to say, liberty, liberty, oh, liberty, 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 eh? If you say anything apart from liberty, they will go. Yeah? Oh, well. Well, so in real sense, you need to be able to, there's some things that needs to actually be cautioned. Do you understand? See, you should be a member of God's palace, and I'm your pastor. And I see you post a type of song, and I should be able to call you to order and say, ah, dear sister, dear brother, this song, oh yeah, explain. Look at it. See, you know some people, eh, when you correct them, or when you want to bring correction to them, you have to say, God, please guide my heart. I've had experiences of that in time past, and it's just so funny how you just realize that somebody is all, you know, someone is all loving, excited, and doing the will of the Father, you know, serving God and all of that, until that correction mode comes. And once the correction mode comes, they're like, Well, you see, happy are you, eh? If as a pastor, I don't pray before bringing correction away. I see you do something on social media space. Fortunately for me, I see it. And I'm able to say, oh, this thing, I think you should check it well. These are the implications of this and that and this and this. Are we together? Yeah? Are we together? Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, so some Christians, they will do beautiful content, lovely content. Get ready with me, dress up with me, go out to the restaurant with me, do for the. And you, when you hear the song, you're gonna realize, you're like, how does this song lead to get ready to me, or get ready with me? Like, there are other interludes, other instrumentals, other things that can be used. But it is that one that is so devilish, that one that is so dirty, that one talking about hard drugs, that one talking about nakedness, you know, that's the one that ministers more to their heart. Now, that is sin. And you think it is sin, and you should not be corrected. I know it has to be corrected. Yeah, why? Because you see something, you see, like I would always say, right, there's some things that you will start and some things that you will do, and you will not know where you will end. You know, like, you the next person that will take that, you know, man knows how to take things a step further. Yeah, why do I repeat the things I repeat the way I do them in as a pastor? It's simply this, because people have a way of hearing one side from the full story, right? Do you understand? People have a way of picking the one that they think they want to run with. You know, the pastor comes and teaches that your sins are forgiven, your sins are eternally forgiven, you are righteous, made holy, and you are called unto good works. You are called to live a righteous life and a holy life because you are righteous. You know, what they don't hear is, you are called to live a righteous life. What they hear is, you are righteous. Right? So that you are righteous, what now happens? That's why I start seeing some people go take it a step further. Right? Your pastor will say, for instance, you are members of the body of Christ. Right, you take your own step for that. What is your step for that? I am the body of Christ. And I told a lady who, you know, said, I am the church. I am the church. There is no church without me. Hear what is being said. Do you understand? Hear what is being said. Listen holistically. So, if we're not careful in the kind of things we say, the kind of attitudes we portray, I tell you for free that people will usually come and take it a step further. Right? So, particularly for instance, our choir team, for instance, and please, quick announcement. Let me just see all the choir members on Sunday together after church. Right? You know, why am I doing this? So, because we are at that formative stage, right? We are laying that foundation, right? So, we know where the cap is. We know where, when we start seeing you going south, we know how to bring it back to the center, to the midpoint. We know how to, you know, regulate ourselves, regulate our slants when we worship, when we lead the saints to praise, or when we praise, or when we do anything you want to call it. Do you understand? Right? So, singing is a very vital part of our Christian faith. Now, another thing again I'll pay attention to again in this series is going to be, you know, the singing that is done a lot of times based on feelings, right? And that is why God's word, look at, let me show you something quickly in Ephesians 5. Put Ephesians 5 quickly. If I don't touch Ephesians 5 today. Or if you go to, go all the way to Ephesians 5. I'm looking for Ephesians 5, and look at verse. No, this gets troublesome if I go there. Look at Colossians 3. Let's see Colossians 3. Look at Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Are you there? Well, Colossians 3 verse 16. Now look at that carefully. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in what? In Psalms. Not teaching and admonishing one another by playing the drums. Not teaching and admonishing using the conga. It's teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Did you get that? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, if you want to admonish and sing and teach in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what is the most important? The most important is the first phrase in that verse 16. Allow the word of Christ, that is the message, the doctrine, allow the message of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Did you get that? Allow the message of Christ to dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, when the message of Christ dwells in you richly, you won't sing emotions, you will sing how you feel. Do you understand? Right? Like I'd always tell you, humility is when the truth of God's word confronts you and stares you out of the face, and you drop any and everything that you are guilty of. Do you understand? That's humility. Humility is when the truth of God's word stares you out of the face, when you are taught from the truth of God's word. Because look at it, but the scriptures are useful, and most scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. That's for correction, for assurance. But there's correction, right? So when the truth of God's word confronts you to your face, yeah, what you don't try to do is to fight it. Once you start trying to fight it, that's being proud. Yeah, what is humility? Humility will be when it stares at you, you get your heart in a place of repentance and what? Switch, no matter how much you've held on to it, no matter how much you've held on to anything that it might be. Do you understand? No matter what the doctrine says, no matter what the practice says, when the truth of God's word stares you in the face, real eyeball to eyeball, humility entails that what? You drop your ego, drop your shoulder. Yeah, you see, till today I still get corrected in God's word by God's word. Do you understand? Right? I am a growing man. Right? I am a growing man. Right? So if I'm still being corrected by God's word, you as well need to always put your heart in the place to be corrected by God's word. altogether. So, and you know, a lot of times, God's word, the correction that will come from God's word might be coming from the voice of another. Yeah? Might be coming from the voice of another. Right? So, look at it. People sing emotions. I remember there was a pastor who is a pastor right now in the US, and he sang a song, and I mean, we all know the song, and the song was, "Open the floodgates in abundance and let your rain to fall on me." Look at it, "Open the floodgates in abundance, let your rain fall on me." You know, more often than not, when you sing that, and what comes to mind, well, for me, over the years when I used to sing it, would be, you know, that which is material, prosperity, or abundance. What abundance is there? Right, but you know, I showed you the use of the word riches, similar to what you call abundance. What we see God has given us in abundance is of His grace, is of His mercy, is of His love. Do you understand? Right, so, Baba, on the floodgates in abundance, and cause your rain to fall on us. Well, beautiful song we sang over there. In fact, people still sing it till today. Right, but this same man that sang this song, that is a pastor today, right, came out to the front of his audience a few years ago, maybe 2018 or 2019, if I'm not mistaken, and he apologized to everyone. And he said, "I composed that song out of my feelings and emotions. It's not doctrinal, it's not scriptural." I had the video. I remember at the time I'd shared the video with a couple of people and a couple of friends. Do you understand? So, you see, if somebody had told an average person in his church today that sang that song, or that, no, in his church at the time when he corrected it, before that time, you say, we are always doing as if you are the one that know everything. Please just leave me alone and let me sing your song. I sing myself. When the truth of God's word stares you at the face, be humble. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Drop those shoulders. You can't raise shoulders for God. Do you understand? I always say to people that a lot of times, the things you don't learn well, the things you don't understand well, another person will understand it and run with it, right? The difference is that what you run away from today as the truth, you see, no, if you run away from it for 10 years, it doesn't change it from being the truth. Yeah? It doesn't change it from being the truth. So you, in 10 years time, you'll probably still learn the same truth, yeah, or keep running. A lot of times you learn it the hard way. Altogether, you learn it the hard way, right? So there are people who would have said, this song, let's examine it for scripture. No, everything in the Greek. The Bible says the letter kill it. Well, now eventually the person that is not the letter, or the person, whatever you want to call it, right? Now has come and say, this song, I repent. I sang and composed that song out of emotions. If you ask me for the video, I'll trace it for you online and bring it and share it with you. It was trending a couple years ago. So there are lots of songs that people sing today, and in the real sense, so if we stay, look at it, if we stay at a song and look at it through the lens of God's word, and we find out what the truth is, more often than not, the truth will remain the truth 20 years from now. So you better look at it today and see the truth in that day than wait for 20 years down the line. Because those who would even be saved after you might even now come, receive the correction, grow and grow and do more exploits in the kingdom of God and things of God. Are we together? So it's very important to know. See that attitude of humility. I don't know why I'm emphasizing on it today in today's teaching, right? But you know, it's very important. You know, so if you're able to sing a song as a church, I remember when we started trying to fine-tune our songs in God's Palace, Nigeria, you know, what I did a lot of times was I allowed the music team and, you know, the DRC to, you know, they sang, they enjoyed themselves, you know, but a lot of times they usually will get correction. But you see, the joy it brings to my heart today as a pastor is I do not need to listen to their songs. I do not need to cross-check the songs they will sing, you know, for a Sunday service before they sing it, right? They've grown over the years. They've been humble enough to receive the truth of God's word. Now they know how to what? Even songs they think they want to sing, or rather they want to sing, they know how to fine-tune it. You can only fine-tune a song because you've allowed the word of Christ, the message of Christ, to dwell richly in you in all wisdom. You can only do that way. Do you understand? So there's a lot of joy in seeing that people are now getting exposed to the world and now knowing how to fine-tune songs and change some words. Some songs that are past tense, they change it to present tense. Some songs that are present tense, they change it to past tense. Some songs that, you know, it's so beautiful to see the word of God, you know, coming into the dynamics and, you know, seeing people now voraciously exposing their hearts to God's word. That is the heart that a believer should have, the heart of humility. You know, the people I corrected, for instance, or the leader I would have corrected years ago, had an option of saying, well, your own is too much, and he would leave the church, he would change church, he would go to another place where his music would be celebrated. Do you understand? He could change church, change his life, change his lineage, and just say, ah, this was it. In fact, you know, the interesting thing, we've had people who leave God's palace as a church because of the kind of songs we sing. I remember hearing about one, and one said he was leaving the church because our songs are not, he gave it a word, our songs are not, our songs are drabby or whatever, I couldn't want to call it. Well, you said that to the wrong person, because I'm not gonna change what needs to be laid as a foundation because of one person. I won't stay away from correcting what is wrong because of one, even if it's 20. You know, when I'm saying one person, I'm not saying one as per one human being. It can be 20, it can be 30. Right? Yeah, it can be 50, it can be 100, it can be a million, right? What gives me satisfaction is, what exactly, how close am I to the epistles? How close am I to the doctrine of our Lord and Savior? Do you understand? Yeah, so nothing really bibles with me. You'll sing one song, pastor will come and correct it. Please, I'm not doing all this one with you people, you know, and I'll go to a church where I'm going to be celebrated. I'll go to a church where, you know, they're listening to the latest songs and they are playing the latest interlude and syncopation. Well, happy are you. Happy days. Yeah, happy. You know, a lot of times people think that coming to church is doing the pastor a favor. Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed it over the years. And how did I notice it? I noticed it in people's responses in certain things or certain conversations. And people think that coming to God's palace, for instance, as a church, is doing me, Joshua, you a favor. Ah, I'm doing you a favor by coming, you know. Well, you have everything to lose. Yeah? You have everything to lose. This is not saying God's palace is the only church, really, that has the sound doctrine. There are millions and thousands. God has thousands of men all around the world. That's what it is, right? But if your attitude is that way, you're thinking, oh, I'm doing Joshua. I'm helping Joshua to at least, if he's counting people, at least he's counting me. And, you know, so I'm just adding to your number. When your heart gets there, the first thing you need to do about your life is to do a proper heart check. A proper heart check, because you would rarely receive anything from with that mindset in among the saints. You will rarely receive anything among the saints. You understand? So when certain people saying their music is not this, I want to go, is because they think that they are doing our number, our population a favor, right? They are doing me, Joshua Yusuf, a favor. I'm just doing you a favor. That's why I'm in this church. If not, happy are you when you actually have the right intent, the right heart, right? What exactly are you looking for, right? What exactly is priority to you? What exactly are you prioritizing, right? What exactly are the issues? What exactly? And I was saying on Sunday, people now choose churches based on churches that have rug. People now choose churches based on churches that have the latest keyboard. People choose churches based on churches that have, you know, the best lighting or the best environment, you know, and that's away from what, you know, when you look at what the apostle disciples did, they met in houses, they met in various places, you know, the most important thing on their heart was that God's word was taught and God's word was taught accurately. I'm going to end in Matthew 21. Go to Matthew 21 quickly with me this evening. Look at Matthew 21, yeah. Matthew 21:11. Look at Matthew 21:11. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the cities were was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought. Well, that's very, there's a lot to say there. Right, cast out of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer." Now that's teaching from the book of Isaiah. We'll look at that on Sunday. But you made it a den of thieves. Now, made it a den of thieves here doesn't mean that they were stealing in the amongst the saints. No, that's not what he was addressing. Yeah, making it a den of thieves is a figurative way of saying you are using Paul to rob Peter. You know, when you say you use Paul to rob Peter, is another figurative way of saying making it a den of thieves. Do you understand that? What is using Paul to rob Peter? It means depriving the functionality or depriving the purpose of the use of a church or an event or a meeting, so to say, or a gathering or a thing, yeah, and using it for something else, right? Yeah, so imagine you use a toothbrush to polish your shoe, right? That's what it means by you're using Paul to rob Peter, or you've made a house of prayer. So what is house of prayer? Toothbrush meant for teeth. You made it a den of thieves. You are now using toothbrush for teeth. I mean, that's figurative, you know. Yeah, a lot of us use toothbrush for edge control and the likes. Yeah, so toothbrush can be used for anything. I'm just trying to make you understand what I'm trying to say, right? People use back of iron to cook. Yeah, so that's what he's trying to say. So what you are supposed to be doing with the Garden of Saints or in the temple is not what you are doing. You are now using it to sell altogether. So it means they were robbing the purpose of the temple or depriving the purpose of what the temple should be used for. And look what he says in verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them all. Hallelujah. He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children, look at it, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, there they were so displeased. So Jesus would heal, people would be crying, and they would be unhappy about the fact that he's healing, and people were healing, or, you know, saying Hosanna. And said unto him, Hearest thou what this say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou art perfected praise. I'm going to go into this properly on Sunday. A lot of times what people teach from that place is that the best praisers are in the children church. All right, is it because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected. See, if you want to get perfect praise, go to children church. You will see perfected praise. Hallelujah. Well, that's not what he's teaching there. See, what he's teaching here is actually be humble to receive the word and be humble to receive the love of God, just like these children. Do you understand? Right, so you see, in the mouth of some people is unbelief, in the mouth of some others is faith. Yeah, you see, the children will be an example of the man who has his mouth filled with faith. Do you understand that? So, out of the mouth of babies and sucklings is a figurative way of talking about those who are humble to receive the word, receive the instruction, the exhortation, the love of God, the correction of God, the training of God. Yeah, yeah. So it means you would need to have an attitude, right? Not the best praisers are in children church. No. Out of the mouth of those that receive the word of God like children, he has perfected what is what? Commendable. Now, I'm going to pay attention to that on Sunday. Now, the word praise, like I've told you, is to speak well, right? Or to say something commendable, or to commend someone for doing something. Do you understand? So it will mean that if our worship has been accepted, we have a perfect sacrifice that has been offered towards Christ, by Christ Jesus. What is praise? We will say something commendable about his work, right? So it means out of the mouth of those who receive the word of God like children, he has perfected what is what you call commendable. So that which is commendable now proceeds from the mouth of those that have their hearts in the right place. You know, I want you to be able to pay attention to this. Go back to 2 Timothy rather. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 15. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. So, you know, the attitude of a child is the attitude of humility. You know, humility. See, there is nothing profitable about raising shoulders, right? There's nothing profitable about being full of oneself. There's nothing. Yeah, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes, you see, in the world, you can be the best JavaScript writer, yeah, and be able to boast about that. Yeah, but when it comes to the things of the spirit, the things that are spiritual, see, once God's word stares you at the face, be very humble, yeah, be like those babies, right, the babes and the sucklings, right, and like I've just taught you, right, and have that attitude to receive the word as long as it's in the world, as long as it's staring you right in the world. word, right? Look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now pay attention to verse 16, where I'll take it to. It says all scriptures, yeah, is given by the inspiration of God. That's theophanitos, that is inspired by God. That means God inspired, spirit breathed, or breathed, yeah, and it's profitable for doctrine. Now, yeah, the word there, doctrine, is the word teaching. It says for reproof. Yeah, so who is the person that will be able to benefit from all the profitability of the scriptures? Is the one who has the heart of a baby. Yeah, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. That's what teaching. It says for reproof. That's what assurance. It says for correction. It says for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Yeah, so correction, instruction, reproof, all of that, they are profitable for the saints. They are for the profitability of the saints. So the saints profit, yeah, from the doctrine, from the teachings of the word, from the instruction of the word, from the correction, from the assurance of the word. What is expected from the saints? Yeah, just like Jesus would say, out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, as the other perfect, as the other perfected priest, right? So you have the heart, the attitude. You see, I've said a lot in this series. For instance, there's a lot of things that might be very difficult, you know, as when they come straight to you at first, we're like, no, we must continue that. Don't throw away my deeds. Yeah, but in real sense, yeah, look at the word holistically. What does the word really say? Let the word of God actually influence and fine-tune the way you actually view life. Let the word of God influence and fine-tune your practice, your mode, your attitude to God's word. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening. I hope you've been instructed by that teaching today.